ladies and gentlemen.
This is the Public Square.
Welcome back on 99.3 Nigeria in for the Public Square. Shaku Maku again to everyone, and I hope that so far, so good it's been for you. In case you missed the opening, we began with Ayo Obey on ideas where we cast a look at what will happen next month when the campaigns for next year's general elections happen. And we did look into the ideas element, the integrity of the campaign process, what INEC has to do. And quite a lot also too for us to unpack in the next 2 hours or thereabout. Ritmi Sankore is joining the conversation straight away. And today's Public Square will be covering several matters arising over the past week. Today is also the World Humanitarian Day, which is observed this day every year. I'm sure you heard the president in Maiduguri yesterday. Nigeria's got its own more than fair share of conflict it deals with, especially in the northeastern part of the country, where over a decade now we've had millions of people thrown into displaced homes, if that's what we can call it. We're going to cover key issues here. The outcome of the Nigeria Governors Forum this week on economy and security. The Minister of Education, Adamu Adamu, finally speaks on primary education in northern states, accuses some northern governors of acting as if they want to destroy education. There will be update on ASUU strike, and then this NBC's issuing a statement saying it revokes the licenses of 52 stations over debts audit. Ritma and I will take you through all of this. Remember, you can interact with the program at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Aoro Obo, as well as at Nigeria Info FM. On WhatsApp, it's 0809-597-5805. So, Rotimi, good afternoon.
Yeah, afternoon. I mean, quite a lot happening this week.
Yes, even as we speak, it keeps unfolding, you know, and we'll talk about them straight away. But I think we can begin to have a look at them one after the other. I can't call it an anticlimax, the governor's meeting, but maybe we expected more when Kayode Fayemi, the governor of Ekiti State and the head of the governor's forum, briefed the media. But it appeared he paid more attention to this Paris Club reform for consultancy fees more than most other things.
Yes, I mean, when the governors announced that they were going to have a very important meeting on economy and security, I mean, we really expected that they would come out with really big proposals on how to fix the economy and how to deal with the insecurity, at least in the time that they have left. Because, I mean, some of them, after the elections in February, all they will have to do is hand over. In fact, the majority of them, except those that are off cycle or those or the few that did one term, the majority of the two-term governors or those like Governor Fayemi that went and came back for a second term, you know, can't do a third time. So most of them will be off. And we thought this was their big opportunity to unveil what they plan to do over the next maybe 8 to 9 months to ensure that the country is more stable economically and security-wise by the time they're handing over. I mean, sadly, by the time the meeting was over, the main emphasis seemed to be on the $418 million Paris Club fee. Mm. You know, I mean, the governors, I mean, they were acting as if the only reason they met there was to tackle the Attorney General Malami, and they accused him of paying this money to consultants and acting selfishly in his own personal interest, which is a polite way of saying, my friend, what is really behind this deal? Yes, I mean that's what they are accusing him of, really, without saying so. You know, the Attorney General has, you know, dismissed the whole thing as a noise making that is being generated from the governor's forum. He says the noise making is unjustified and that the governors have no basis to reject the deduction of $418 million from the Paris Club refund, which is being paid to, you know, I mean, it's not clear who, but I mean, Malami says that the work done on it is justified. So, I mean, it's really an anticlimax. Now, the governors seem to be determined to pursue the matter legally. And this is all the governors, by the way, both APC and PDP.
Right.
I mean, we haven't had any dissenting voices. They've written to the Secretary of the Federal Government, Boss Mustafa. I hear that they intend to take the matter all the way to the Supreme Court if necessary. Now, is this important? You know, I'm not saying that it is not important, but really we expected very clear statements on the economy, on insecurity. I mean, as we discussed last week,
right,
when looking at the World Youth Day data, the insecurity is coming from the states. It's arising mainly because of failure at state and local government level. So this is what we expected the governors to deal with. And in particular, the issues around the local government autonomy, which listeners will remember, is one of the constitutional amendments that is supposed to we are hoping it would have passed by the end of this assembly, but from the way it is going now, the financial and administrative autonomy of local governments may not become a reality by the time the election commences. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, we really hoped to hear from the governors on this, but sadly, you know, all these issues about the failures at the state and local government level, which are causing national crisis, they didn't talk about it. The same thing is applicable to the economy. I mean, while there are federal and national issues that are making the economic situation miserable, for instance, the lack of electricity, I mean, that's a national disaster. We should be at over 200,000 megawatts. We're at 5,000 megawatts. In fact, the minister in charge of electricity 2 days ago, Google is your friend, or if Google is not your friend, just go to at Public Square NG, which is the program handle where we curate all these issues for you. Just scroll down a bit and you will see the minister trying to explain why the country cannot generate up to 5,000 megawatts of electricity. Meanwhile, the discos finally have come out to say that it is what they are giving that they distribute. And they have restated, possibly after listening to a few episodes of Public Square, have restated. I mean, because we know that many of the stakeholders listen to the program.
Yes.
Many of them tell us that they listen to the program.
Sometimes they say
the program is too harsh. Well,
it's great you're saying this, because I was listening to the business news just a short while ago, and the Minister of Finance, Zainab Ahmed, went before the Senate and said, I think the reason why we're having over 60 million liters of petrol, I know people will argue with us saying that, no, this is going or due to smuggling, but I've never seen any of them appear before the National Assembly with empirical evidence to say it is blah, blah, blah number of liters of petrol we're using for vehicles. It is blah, blah, blah number of liters of petrol being used to power homes and businesses. And based on this, we have arrived at this conclusion. They somehow just keep on arriving at theories without any data. They just assume. It's really, really baffling.
It's reasonably clear to every Nigerian that the scale of smuggling of petrol to neighboring countries alleged by spokespersons of the government is not true.
Hmm.
From time to time, they will catch one pickup or one bus with 10 jerry cans hidden somewhere trying to drive across the border.
Yeah.
And whenever they catch any such criminal, the person, you know, is paraded. The customs will show those liters, those jerry cans, and so forth like that. In truth, most of the petrol sale in Nigeria is not going to vehicles anymore.
Mm.
It is going for generators. There are more generators in Nigeria than vehicles.
Far more.
So when they say there are only X amount of vehicles in Nigeria, they don't know where the fuel is going. Whoever says that is in denial.
Mm.
Most of the fuel goes on generators. Hence, anytime there is a fuel scarcity with an electricity crisis, you see a lot of jerry cans there, and they start saying no sale for jerry can. Then you see businesses collapsing, small businesses collapsing.
Mm.
You know, so, and if you note, by the way, today, I mean, for those who may have missed it again, I refer you to the program handle at Public Square NG, where the minister, the Minister of Finance, is telling us, I mean, this is really sad news anytime you see this kind of thing, because it's as if, you know, it's as if the government is not coordinating. He's not coordinating. The minister tells us that 18.4 billion naira,
right,
18.4 billion naira is being spent on the so-called subsidy every day. That means every week, this is 129 billion. Every week, 129 billion. Every month, this is 559 billion, let's say 600 billion, every month on the so-called subsidy. And in one quarter, roughly 1.7 trillion is being spent on the so-called subsidy. 1.7 trillion every quarter. Now, we are going to come to the ASUU update next. Note that all the money that is needed to revitalize the universities, that is to build the laboratories, the libraries, get the science and technology equipment, the hostels and everything, is 1.2 trillion. 1.2 trillion, for which the government says there is no money. And we know that if the universities are fixed, then the research and development coming out of the universities will reduce the dependence on oil.
Mm.
I mean, look at South Korea. All those things they export to us, cars, computers, smartphones, microwave, refrigerator, and so forth like that. All those things are research and development from universities. If our universities have the same capacity for research and development, we will not only be manufacturing for Nigeria, thereby saving foreign exchange, but exporting to the rest of Africa under the new free trade agreement. Now, instead of investing that 1.2 trillion in the universities, they say they have no money for that. But in one quarter, 1.7 trillion is going on so-called subsidy. We have refinery, which they keep refurbishing and maintaining, but don't produce 1 liter of fuel. 1 liter is not produced. And 1.7 trillion, a quarter, 1.7 trillion. Meanwhile, only 1.2 trillion will refurbish the universities. And this is over 6 years, 200 billion a year. So, you know, I'm listening to the lady, the finance minister, and just shaking my head and just wondering. I mean, do they think the public is incapable of reconciling the figures?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You know, again, if you haven't seen this news, you have, please go to our Public Square NG, scroll down. We curate all these things for you, the data, you know, the statements, and you will see for yourself what the real problem is in this country. It's lack of focus on priorities.
Right. So,
just to end our also.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, those things fall into the category of national problem. But in reality, people live within states. And it is within the states and local governments that are least developed that you have the most poverty. And this is within the mandate of the governors and the local government. So what we expected, the chair of the governors forum to have come out to say at the end of that meeting, is not the Paris Club and the fight with Attorney General Malami, but to say these are the issues we are planning to address over the next 9 months to ensure that the insecurity and the economic situation within the states is resolved. If you look at the poverty headcount between states, you will see where the poverty is higher. And we know why. Anyway, so I mean, that's for that.
All right, 99.3 Nigeria Info is Public Square, your number one talk news and sports station, and Rotimi Sankore with me here, and we're having a discussion on some of the key issues that have happened. You know how time flies. Sometimes you don't have the opportunity to go back on many of these issues, but there are a number of unfinished businesses which we have to deal with. One is with the governors. It appears lost an opportunity to address some of those issues. Some of those issues we'll talk about too, and see whether there's been any new development in them. When we go through them, you'll probably be more informed. We'll go on a quick break, and then we come back. Let's talk some more 99.3 Nigeria Info. Please stay with us.
Square, we'll be right back. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
At 9.3 Nigeria Info, it's 26 minutes to 5, and we have a big discussion this evening on Public Square. Rotimi Sankore is with me, and we have quite a number of things to tick off on our list already. Messages coming in on what you think about some of those things. I will take the messages as they come in and hear what you have to say about them. Let me take this one very quickly. I get back to Rotimi on some of them. Common man from Norwich. Is it Norwich in the UK? I cannot say, but he says, he's writing in from Norwich. He says, if broadcasting stations are owing subscription fees, the smart thing to do by NBC is to structure a payment plan, not outrightly shorten them out this crucial period when we need all hands on deck to keep us informed. The impact of the harsh economy is hitting all stakeholders. He says, please, where's Mr. Frank from Ojo Alaba? He hasn't called the studio in a while. I hope he's keeping well. Mr. Frank, if you're there, if someone's thinking about you, please get in touch with us so that we can know that you are fine. Then Kaede from Ikotun writes, quite unfortunate that anytime I hear about NNPC and refineries in Nigeria, I'm always sad and unhappy. I remember years ago, precisely, 1981, when I sought admission to Petroleum Training Institute at Efro in Delta State. I applied for fabrication and instrumentation, which is one of the backbone of industrial production. It later surprised me that all of those who were admitted then had no knowledge of fabrication and instrumentation or engineering skills. No wonder we are where we are. Wrote to me.
Yeah.
Right. So, I guess we'll continue from where we stopped, which is...
Yes, but just a quick comment on the last message from a listener.
Right.
So, you know, the fabrication skills are quite crucial for engineering, but these fabrication skills have to be practiced, have to be learned. So this is part of what the lecturers are saying.
Yeah.
That if you are admitting people for engineering, but they have no opportunity to learn or master fabrication skills, right, what are they going to do when they graduate?
Nothing.
You know, I mean, people really need to understand how terrible the situation in university is. It's not just going there, getting handouts, graduating, and then saying you are looking for work, which you won't find.
Hmm.
The issue is, what is the quality of the education?
Yeah.
So while I sympathize greatly with the young people, I really sympathize with them, because as a student leader myself, when I was a youth, I know how much we fought, even put our own education and career at stake to ensure that we and our colleagues got a proper education. I mean, I was rusticated in university by the military regime for fighting for basic things. I remember when they wanted to end bursary and we fought against it. We were severely dealt with by the military regime, amongst other things. Look, I mean, even the computer science department that had just been launched then in UI, we had to do a looter for them to get computers, because we are like, how can you start a computer science department without computer? What are they going to be doing? We had to organize a looter for the computers to be bought.
And when the computers were bought, wrote to me, years after, they were still teaching us Fortran and COBOL. And I kept asking them, well, what are we going to use this for? They said, just learn it. It's part of the history of computing.
Look, as we mentioned last week, if you are using Facebook today, if you are using Microsoft today, if you are using Google today, and all these are $1 trillion companies, remember, all these companies were formed by university students when they were students. When they were students, not when they had finished school, when they were students. Facebook, Google, Microsoft, these are all $1 trillion companies.
Right.
And this is because they had the computers to play with, to learn with. So, I mean, who says our young people don't have the capacity to do the same? So when our listener is saying he went to do fabrication, not only the tools were not there, but people were even admitted that didn't have the prerequisite qualification to be in that kind of course. So, you know, I mean, look,
now that we've entered inadvertently the education sector, maybe we can just deal with the ASU situation, because it's been pretty fluid. A lot of things been happening. The minister has spoken, some of those things, saying that students go and sue the lecturers for wasting your time. Has to respond in that is the government that wasted your time. So many things we've been hearing, but long and short, they still haven't resolved this crisis.
So, remember when President Buhari gave
the minister
Ngige and Adamu 2 weeks to resolve the ASUU crisis. Yeah. I mean, those 2 weeks have long passed.
Yeah.
And Adamu announced to the presidency that he can't make progress unless Ngige is asked to step aside, and he, as education minister, is given the lead role.
Mm.
Okay. So he was given the lead role, and this is where we are now. And remember what I said, that Adamu as education minister already has his hands full of an education crisis, both at the federal level and both through failure to coordinate the commissioners of education at the state level. Hence, this 30 million plus children out of school, hence the 60 million adults that can't read and write, and so forth like that. I mean, no, he has not proposed a solution.
Mm.
He has not said, oh, for the 60 million adults that can't read and write, we need, you know, classes. If you go by the UNESCO global standard, 20 to 25 classes, 20 to 25 people per class for the 60 million, which will require over 2 million classrooms and 2 million vocational and adult education teachers, proportional to the state where the problems are. He hasn't sorted all those things. Mm. They said, go and sort ASUU matter. Now he's saying students should sue ASUU. So students should sue ASUU for saying we don't have the tools to teach you with, and therefore we are reluctant to continue teaching. That the students don't have library. The students don't have laboratory. The hostels are in a mess.
Mm.
This is what ASUU is saying. No science and technology equipment and so forth. Even those in music department don't have instruments to play with. This is what ASUU is saying. Adamu is now saying, the government that is supposed to take care of those things is not at fault. The students should go and sue ASUU, should go and sue the lecturers. So look, if you understand legal issues, what are you going to sue the lecturers for? So somebody, a group of students presumably, will go and fire and say, we concerned students so, hereby sue the university lecturers for not building the library with their money.
Mm.
We sue the university lecturers for not building the laboratory from their meager salary.
Mm.
We sue the university lecturers for not refurbishing our hostels. We, the students, sue the university, that's what Adamu is asking the students to do. Meanwhile, none of those things is the responsibility of lecturers. So, I mean, you can see the problem already with the Minister of Education. I mean, he's indulging in a level of misinformation and disinformation which you don't expect from a primary school student. And he's a minister. I mean, which student is going to meet a lawyer and say, please, I want you to sue the lecturers for not revitalizing the university? Which student in their right mind is going to do that? Anyway, not surprisingly, some of the students have now sued Adamu and the Ministry of Education and the FG to demonstrate that actually we know where the problem is.
And so, Rosemary, talking of strategy, so it appears that the Minister of Education strategy is to work with different unions in resolving this, because it appears that he says that all of the unions have agreed with them. It's just ASUU that they have not been able to reach an agreement with.
Well, again, this is really disingenuous because apart from, look, we want the federal government to come out and tell us that the $200 billion a year for revitalization of universities has now been budgeted for. and, you know, and tell us when it will be released to what universities, so that we can hold the university management teams responsible. So say, for instance, if 5 billion is released to UNILAG, or, you know, and the minister says we are releasing 5 billion to UNILAG next week to, you know, purchase books, revitalize laboratory.
Right.
So we know it has been released. This is where it is going.
Right.
So UNILAG ASU, we have no excuse to continue with the strike. The same thing for UI, IFE, Amadu Bello, BUK, Kano. They should tell us this money has now been budgeted for and will be released to the university so that the vice chancellors remember ASU does not run universities. ASU are just the lecturers. Universities are run by the vice chancellors and the management committee that are appointed by the federal government. So this is what we want to hear. Not for them to come and tell us that they've settled all the other unions, but ASU is how. Now, incidentally, the committee set up has come out to say that even on the matter of pay, which government supporters have been blackmailing ASU to say, ASU is trying to say, demand how their employers should pay them. That committee has come out to say that the UTAS is superior to the IPPS. This is the committee that was set up by the negotiating team. Even on that matter, ASU has been proven to be right. The government side is now saying, the IPPS will now be recalibrated to take account of sabbatical and other things like that.
And then wrote to me, there's this sticky issue when the minister was asked on what was the major hurdle for them to scale if they eventually want to get ASU on board. And he said that ASU has asked that the monies that were owed them for the months they did not work should be paid to them. And he said that the government said no, that they stick into the no work, no pay policy.
Look, I think for that one, the issue is clear to the whole country.
Yeah.
If it's a question of no work, no pay, no minister should be paid in this country. No minister should be paid. The Minister of Education shouldn't be paid. What has he been doing there? Not just him, his predecessor. The commissioners of education. How did we get these 30 million children out of school? What were they doing? How did we get the 60 million adults that can't read and write? What is the Minister of Power doing there? I mean, should that fellow be paid if we subject it to referendum and say, and list the ministers and say, should they be paid for the last 4 years? You and I know most Nigerians will say they shouldn't be paid. The Minister of Energy is telling us, giving us, explaining why the country cannot generate up to 5,000 megawatts, whereas the country needs over 200,000 megawatts. As I was saying earlier, the discourse, perhaps prompted by listening to many editions of Public Square, have now come out to say, we can't distribute what we don't get. For all the country to have electricity, the discos need to receive 200,000 megawatts of electricity. This was a statement issued a few days ago. So the discos shouldn't be held responsible. And they've elaborated. If you follow me on Twitter at Rotimi Sankore, just scroll down a few days and you will see where I'm, you know, quoting the tweet by the discos.
Right. Absolutely. So what to be there?
If we want to subject to referendum, should the ministers be paid? You will find many people saying no.
For underperforming.
So we'll leave ASU to sort it out. No work, no pay rule.
Right.
We'll leave them to sort it out. But on an ethical basis, if you want to subject it to national debate and referendum, whether government officials should be paid for the last 4 years or for the last 8 years, you will see that, I mean, what are they doing? They don't provide water. They don't provide electricity. They don't provide education. They don't provide. I mean, it's silly.
Right. Oh, all right. So Rotimi, we have we've touched on some of the things that the governors should have talked about. I mean, they just pussyfooted on this ASU thing, saying that the federal government and ASU should sheathe their sword. But today has been a very dramatic day, especially for the media. We have the National Broadcasting Commission listing at least 52 radio and TV stations that have been given 24 hours to shut down operations. 22 government-owned, the remainder private-owned, and it's generating a lot of comments. I'm sure that as we go into the weekend, there will be more reactions. We're getting reactions now from the NUJ.
Before we go into media sector, let me just underline a statement from the Federal Minister of Education yesterday, speaking at the ministerial briefing organized by the Presidential Communication Team in Abuja. Now, as many people know, we do special editions of Public Square in Abuja as well. And whenever these special editions are done, I mean, the last one was last Friday morning, and we talk seriously on this education matter. Now, we know that they listen because they often complain, oh, it was too strong, it was too harsh, you have to consider this, we have to consider that, and so forth. So, finally, for the first time, the Minister of Education has come out to state, and I'm quoting, that a lot of the state governments, especially the northern governors, are acting as if they are looking to destroy the education system at primary school level. Is it just knowing this? Because they've now realized that this is a national security problem. I mean, just to recap, so everybody understands, 7.5 million children estimated born in Nigeria annually. Only 5 million start primary school. 2.5 million don't start. What do we think is going to happen? 2.5 million times 10. In 10 years, there will be 25 million children that didn't start primary school. 25 million. Normally, bandit and extremist and so forth only need roughly between 5 and 15% of such people to cause mayhem, depending on the size of a country. So if there are 25 million in 10 years, and there are 10 million joining bandit and extremist activities, that's 2.5 million. The whole military in Nigeria is about 600,000. So now we want to see what will be the approach, the sanction to those governors that are not making the investments in the in primary school. So, I mean, we can pack that and then we can move to the media issue.
All right. So, Rotimi, we're going to go on a quick break. We come back and we'll look at the NBC's order of closure for these stations and what the implications and consequences are on 99.3 Nigeria Info on Public Square. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is The Public Square.
And 9.3 Nigeria Info. It's 3 minutes past five on your number one talk news and sports station. I am Awoko Obo, together with Rotimi Sankore in the Public Square. Today we have quite a lot to unpack, and we've been doing this beginning with ideas with Ayo, which looked at the campaign season, which begins next month. What the idea issues that's where we began this whole conversation, and then delved into the governor's forum, more like an anticlimax. They were supposed to have spoken about a number of issues, from the economy to security, even ASU, the shutdown of universities, but more like a tepid response. They focused more on the Paris Club refund consultancy fees than anything else in the communique read out by Governor Kayode Fayemi of Ekiti State, who heads the governor's forum. Don't forget to send us messages on WhatsApp 08095975805. Just messages only on WhatsApp. On Twitter, Facebook, it's at Nigeria Info FM, at Public Square NG, at Rotimi Sankore, at Awawa Obo. If you send us messages, we'll hear from you. I see quite a number of messages already coming in. And we just have one more thing to deal with before we get into the square opening to everyone to join in. So, quite a war going on here, I see, even on WhatsApp from the messages around what to make of the shutdown of the universities. Rotimi. Okay. Not sure if Rotimi is still here. So we'll call him back and see where he is. But so quite a number of things. I'm going to go through some of those messages in a short while. And let's see what you think about it. Back to the public square, still with us, Rotimi Sankore, and we have a lot to do. So, Rotimi, you're still here?
Yes, please.
Great. So, we have this unfinished business with the NBC, which is a regulatory body for broadcasting stations, who's swung the big axe on 52 stations, 22 government managed stations, and then the remainder independent. And it's got a lot of people talking. And we thought we would put it here also to among the things to deal with.
Yes, I mean, this one is what is called breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the issue is still, people are still digesting it, mm-hmm. You know, that what does this mean? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, as always, whenever you crowdsource solutions, you will see that solutions to problems are easy, and you start to wonder why don't officials think deeply before acting, issuing statements, or sometimes before not acting at all? I mean, you can see somebody just sent you a message. You know, one of our esteemed listeners just sent a message saying, in this kind of situation, why revoke the licenses of 52 broadcast stations across the country? Why not just negotiate a payment plan with them? I mean, in the same breath, the government was saying that this is not political. So what is it? I mean, really? Are they in that they are not aware that all the broadcast stations in this country run mainly on diesel? All the broadcast stations run mostly on diesel. So, not surprisingly, the stations that have multiple outlets bear the higher costs. So, I mean, if you have one outlet in Lagos, you have one in Abuja, one in Port Harcourt, you know, another one in Maiduguri, another one in Sokoto, one in Benin, and so forth like that. And let us say, conservatively, you are spending 50,000 a day on diesel.
With me, you know, that's less than Libra, right?
That's why I say conservatively. I mean, okay. In reality, it's roughly 100,000.
Very true.
So if you are spending, okay, let us just go for broke and just say, if you are spending 100,000 a day on diesel, that's about what, a month? So, you know. So if you are spending 3 to 5 million a month on diesel, and you multiply by, say, I mean, if you look at some of the stations named there, you know, like AIT, Ray Power, Silverbird, and so forth, you know, these are outlets that have stations in many states.
Right.
Some have TV, some have radio. So, you know, if in 1 month on multiple outlets, they are spending, say, 15 to 20 million a month on diesel, not to mention other running costs. Now, the media ecosystem employs millions of people, because it's not just the people you see on air, on TV, or those you hear. You know, they are engineers, they are administrators, they are, you know, very deep ecosystem. And then, depending on them, are people that have to advertise their services for the public to know that those services are available. So you see, even the biggest soft drink companies in the world, whose names are synonymous, when you go and visit people, they say, oh, should we go and buy you? They drop the name. The name is now synonymous with multiple products. Then they will go back and say, oh, you know, the orange drink we found was, they mentioned the name. Even those products still have to advertise. And therefore, to a large extent, their business depends on public projection, which is through the media. Now, that is private sector. Even the government itself needs the media for information and dialogue with the public. We need to remind Section 222 of the Constitution, as with many constitutions all over the world, guarantees the constitutional right of the media, not just to hold governments accountable. So we are not just interloping here. We are, you know, we are playing a constitutional role, which includes public education, public awareness, which includes conveying message from the government to the people. Without that communication, misinformation and disinformation will reach incredible heights. In other words, trained and experienced journalists like us that speak only to facts, data, global standards, not those people that are always promoting ethnic wahala, religious wahala, and so forth. Trained and experienced journalists like us are vital for the society to get factual information, which often includes communication from the government. What is the government doing? If you listen to anybody on the news at any time, I mean, just listen to Yvonne or whoever is going to read the news at 6 or listen to any of the TV stations this evening. You will see that a lot of the communication and news is the presidency has reacted to. The presidency is proposing. The governor has said that, you know, the blue line will start functioning at so-so time. Oh, they've addressed the riots at so-so place. They are doing this for justice. Without that information, there will be chaos, because people will just, already it is bad enough that the presence of government is not being felt where it should be. Without any communication of what government is doing about anything, you leave everything open to disinformation and misinformation. So the government is playing, you know, I mean, this role, I mean, talk about doing yourself a disservice. So if the NBC revokes 52 broadcast licenses, including of outlets that have, you know, that have multiple stations. The information gap with the public increases. And the likelihood for disinformation and misinformation increases. Because then you are leaving it to mischievous people using other means, not verified, not checked, not researched, and so forth like that.
Right, Rotimi. So, like, since you say it's still fresh, and we will probably get reactions to this, and I'm sure the coming week we'll see a lot into this.
And just to point out,
right,
in case somebody wants to support the government and says, but are they saying that they shouldn't pay? We are not saying they shouldn't pay. We are saying the operating environment is difficult.
Very difficult. Very.
Because a radio or TV station cannot say, oh, we want to switch off the gen, let it cool, so that they can refuel. That means they are off air. So they are working with multiple gens, switching 24 hours plus servicing, plus other costs. So like one listener just sent, simple solution, just agree payment plan.
Right.
Full stop. Yeah. Interestingly, like you pointed out, a significant number of the stations affected are run by state governments.
Very true. Very true. Including the Lagos state government, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and we know that in Lagos, for instance, the people who are unable, who haven't had the opportunity to study and understand what is called Big English, which we are speaking here.
Yeah.
Those that rely on Iwe Irohin and other kinds of, you know, are really addressed by some of the stations owned by the Lagos government. So just imagine those stations going off air.
Yeah. All the way to Borno State.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So, Rotimi, today, talking of Borno State, by the way, we have International Humanitarian Day, which is marked this day, and it coincides also to with a very important anniversary. I think we can spare some moments to this before we open the phone lines, Rotimi.
Yes, Ahoho. Well, when we talk of Humanitarian Day, I mean, it's a global observance, but I mean, it's something that really touches at the national level. If you look at many of our states, you will see millions of displaced people. And these millions of displaced people essentially reflect the fact that their state governments have failed. Because such massive displacement only happens when there is a governance failure. So if you look at the figures from the UN, you know, almost every month, the UN system will issue a statement, oh, you know, 9 million in need of humanitarian support, 12 million at risk of hunger and starvation, if no humanitarian support. And you break it down by states or regions, you know, 2.1 million people in Northeast, you know, so million in Northwest. I mean, these are humanitarian disasters, which, you know, we are living with in Nigeria as if nothing has happened. It's almost normal now. It's almost normal to have millions of people displaced in Nigeria. Even people who are not displaced have problems. If you are working now, you will be lucky if your salary lasts more than 10 days. So imagine somebody who is not working, who doesn't have anywhere, who has no means of feeding, water, you know, just basics of existence. And imagine millions of them in your country. This is something that needs to be addressed. Why? Not just because people are suffering, but because children that grow up in such circumstances suffer the most severe form of social and economic exclusion. And when they grow up, they are often bitter and angry and easily recruited by bandits, extremists, robbers. Senator Ndume, the chair of the defense committee in the Senate, told us once that there were up to 60,000 orphans in some areas in the Northeast. 60,000 orphans. Just imagine if those 60,000 fall into the hands of extremists. Blank slate. No love, no education, bitterness. Just imagine the national crisis that they can cause. Then some people will say, go and buy some Tucano jet and combat helicopter to go and finish them. When you could have resolved the problem earlier by not allowing the governance to fail. And then even when it fails, you can do remedial action. So the future is not looking bright for the country with those millions of displaced kids. Now, humanitarians don't, and the humanitarian situation also requires humanitarians. In other words, the doctors and nurses that go and volunteer to help such people, the people that supply them food and other things, you know, there is UNICEF, you know, there is UNFPA, all agencies, the refugee agency and so forth like that. I mean, these are people doing fantastic work. If those agencies didn't exist or didn't work in Nigeria, sorry for my country. Sorry for our country if those agencies were not here. Now, at a smaller level, humanitarians also include those that are not in big conflict or disaster situations. So if my memory serves me right, today is also the anniversary of the passing of Dr. Adedevo.
Very true.
The heroic, heroic woman, that saved Nigeria from a disaster along with her other colleagues.
Absolutely. Heroic woman.
I mean, not just her. There are six of them. But because she took the decision to say, this Sawyer guy from Liberia has arrived in our clinic. She's a woman, was a woman that keeps her eye on the news and current affairs. And she was looking Ebola outbreak, Liberia. This guy has landed in Nigeria. He has symptoms. He has landed in our clinic. People were, you know, government officials were like, oh, diplomatic protocol, release him so he can go to his conference. And she was, no. If it is Ebola and we release him, before we know what is happening, the whole country can, you know, and she spoke to her staff and explained, said, guys, this is the situation. This is my recommendation. We should hold the guy and send off the sample. Meantime, you know, they didn't have the protective clothing, so they had to handle him. You know, handle the blood. He was throwing up. And, you know, they took a decision. If we are right, we save the country from a disaster.
And Rotimi, you know,
they took that.
You know, the amazing thing, her calmness about the entire thing. You know the interesting thing? We're going to interview her on Monday. And we called her and she just said, look, I'm quarantining right now. When I'm done, I will come for this interview. And I mean, we had no idea what she was going through at that moment in time. You know, only to just realize later. I mean, it's an unbelievable woman.
I mean, she also gave advice to her patients, which include somebody I know. And she just said to the guy, he said, look, this is the situation. You've come to the clinic, but this is what is happening today. From tomorrow, we will not be seeing people anymore. So go home, quarantine. If you have problems, call. We can, you know, help on the phone. And so this is advice she gave to multiple people. Now, those are also humanitarians. Working in non-conflict situation, dedicating everything. So when you have things like Ebola and COVID and so forth. And doctors and nurses have to go on strike for their hazard allowance. And the Minister of Labor, who should be fighting for them, because he's also a medical practitioner, comes and says they should make sacrifice for the nation and go and work, and we'll see how to pay them later. I mean, ministers are making those kind of statements. So, you know, people who work in the humanitarian sector, and I know a lot of them, Africa, across the world. Yeah. I mean, these are people that have dedicated themselves to humanity. So on World Humanitarian Day, we salute Dr. Adedevo and her other five colleagues. We thank them. Incredibly, we thank all the UN staffers, UNICEF, UNFPA, the refugee agency,
right,
you know, the people doing the strategy. I mean, their leadership,
right,
their country directors, you know, the UN coordinator, the UNDP rep, all those people.
Right.
Without them, Nigeria will be in a big mess. In fact, let me just end by saying that the entire country itself, in a few years, if this thing is not fixed, may be in need of humanitarian relief. Everybody.
Right. All right, Richmond, let's go on this next break. And when we come back, I'm sure we can then open the phone lines and hear from everyone in the public square.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Public Square.
Welcome back, 99.3 Nigeria Info. We have exactly 18 minutes to the end of the square. How time flies when you're having a big, important discussion. But it's time for us to engage with you. The number to call, 0700-993-993-993. Again, 0700-993-993-993. Females also have the added advantage of calling this number, 01465-7190. Again, 01465-7190. Those of you on WhatsApp, it's 0809-597-5805. So we're going to move from WhatsApp, from the phone to WhatsApp, and then to social media, especially on Twitter, to get your comments to quite a varied number of things to talk about. But let's get to the block, Rotimi. So, let's see who is first to the block. So, hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening, Sir Rotimi.
Great. What's your name? Please, we can hear you. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Etim Godin, calling you from Lekki.
All right, Etim, please go ahead.
When I listen to all the stuff that Sarotimi has really said, is really worrisome. Because when you heard about the NDC, placing a ban on the almost over 52 radio stations in Nigeria. So I don't understand if they can do this to the media. What is it? Because soon they will start their campaign now. So which media are they going to go to now for us to hear what they have, maybe they are manifesto to us as a country? So it's very troublesome. I don't really understand Nigerian government here. Whether we are heading north, or whether we are heading south, or whether we are out, I don't really understand. So, that's my take.
Thank you very much, Etim. Hello and good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where are you calling from?
My name is Tony, calling from Maryland.
All right, Tony, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I listen to Sam Cody. Good evening, Sam Cody, Professor Sam Cody. I'm very grateful with your word every Friday. I don't miss your this sensation. But the question is, why can't we invite the past governor of any of the northern states to even explain or whether he knows what is going on in the world? Because most of those governors in the state, in the northern, I believe they are graduates. Why can't they support education? Are you in that station? Can you even invite any of the governors to come to the station, or you call them there and interview with them and talk to them? And the last one is this word that Sankori explained to us every Friday. How will Nigeria government listen? How will they hear? Thank you very much. God bless her.
All right. Thank you very much, Tony. Hello and good evening. All right. Hello and good evening. All right. That's my cue quickly to run to WhatsApp and see what's happening there. And it's a war going on here. Femi from Texas says, to solve the educational crisis in the country, it should be constitutional that all public officers and politicians should be banned from sending their children abroad. Okay. We've got a message from Oga. Says, what about those orphans falling into the hands of terrorists alone? But talk about somebody transporting them down to South here where with no job or housing. What do you think will happen? Well, different scenarios being painted and what will happen if we don't have safe places for them immediately. Quite a number of comments around the NBC's suspension order. This is Chika Norum from Abia State. Says, suspension of media houses over non-payment of their dues is unfortunate. At this time, election is around the corner. Those of you who are writing about the reception not being very clear where you stay, it's been worked on. We've taken note of those areas. There was a fix and had to temporarily be done, but it is going to be taken care of hopefully before the weekend is done. So we hear you. Someone says, it's good the NCC can mandate the radio stations mention to pay their debt, but I'm sure that the same NBC is owing several millions of naira to electricity companies. I don't know if they're owing. He thinks it's political. Well, I don't know about that.
We don't know about the specific institution mentioned, but it is factual that the MDAs, ministries, departments, and so forth, are the biggest debtors to the DISCO. To the DISCOs. This is well reported.
Well verified.
Mm. Government ministries and departments are the biggest debtors to the DISCOs.
All right, let's get back to the phone lines, get your comments. Hello and good evening. Hello and good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Great to have you join us. What's your name, please, and where are you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Feni Balarabe.
Balarabe, you say?
Yeah.
Oh, please go ahead quickly.
Okay. Well, I like some correct analysis, and I'm always delighted to listen to him. But at times, I feel Mr. Sankore is too much bending to ASU than to be make a balanced analysis. This strike, I don't blame only federal government. The ASU too, they have shared so much blame on that strike. Do they not have heart to think about the children who are staying at home? If the government did not do anything for almost 6 months now, why don't we just go to the back to the classes for these children's sake? And I know that mostly you cannot tell your employers how to pay you. It didn't work anywhere in the world. They said that they must pay by UTAS. They are not the one that employ themselves. Government employ them, and government have to have the system to pay them. They cannot insist that UTAS must be used. I've listened to one of the senior lecturer of BUK. He's saying that if the government can agree on that UTAS, then they will consider going back to work. Then the other things, they will discuss it later. Okay. I believe that's the biggest demand.
Okay, thank you very much, Balarabe, for your comment.
Please, let me just clarify.
All right.
I'm not for ASU, I'm for education. I'm for education. Look, if you follow me on social media, you will see 60 to 70% of what I tweet about, what I talk about, is education. Education for the youth, job skills for the youth. The rest is distributed between electricity and other sustainable development issues. But the majority of what I talk about is education, primary, secondary, university, education for girls, education for women. No country can develop without education. So I'm not for ASU, I'm for education. So if ASU is advocating for revitalization of university and government has not done its job, who do you think what I'm saying will be aligning with? Education is a human right.
Yeah. Massive, massive human right. Massive. Back to the phone lines. Hello and good evening.
Good evening, Abobo, and your routine, Mr. Ankore.
Great to have you. Your name, please, where are you calling from?
My name is Emmanuel.
All right, Emmanuel, go ahead.
First of all, I want to acknowledge what Stella Adedehu did for us in Nigeria, you know. I think the woman should be immortalized, you know, and commended for that great effort, you know. And this is something Nigerians do argue about experience. I was just thinking that, for instance, if there was a contest for Minister for Defense, some people might want to come and say Stella Adedehu does not have experience, so he's not qualified to do the job. And just see how she did extremely well. Just imagine if she had not stopped that woman, and the woman went into the street of Lagos. How many people
the man
went into the streets of Lagos. How many people would have contracted the disease? That aside, let's go to ASUU. My argument about ASUU is that the bad governance we have in Nigeria today affects every ramification of our socialism. And I think ASUU should consider this. ASUU cannot live in Nigeria and be living the life of other of other countries. We have the farmers who are taking the fair share of bad governance. We have engineers. We have the doctors. Everybody has reasons to go on strike in this country. So I think what should be our priority is how to get bad governance out of our system so that it will be a win-win for every section of Nigeria. Thank you and good evening.
All right. Thank you very much for your comment. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Aha. Good evening.
Good evening, Agogo. Shaku Maku.
Hey, Makushi. Your name is
I have missed you. Anyway, let me go straight to it. My name is Meg. I'm calling from Lekki.
Right,
I just wanted to support what Rotimi was saying about power. Power is key for every business. Two jerry cans of diesel, 50 liters, is about 50,000 naira. So there's no way a broadcast station will be using less than 500,000 liters of diesel a month. There's no way. So the amount is much more than that. And a lot of businesses are actually packing up because of diesel. Especially those that are driven with electricity, dry cleaning companies, hair salons and places like that. It's quite unfortunate where we are as a country. I don't know how we are going to come out of this. I really don't know. I really, really don't know. I just wish God can just drop a Messiah to help us. Because I can't think of where we will be in another 2 years if things don't change. If nothing gives, I don't know. It is well. Agogo, nice talking to you.
Right. Thank you very much, Meg. All right. Hello. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Aha. Good evening. Your name, please, where are you calling from? Hey, Makushi.
Hey, Kobuku.
Ah, Kobuku, great. Go ahead.
Professor Sankore. Sir. Let teacher of education see them to sue ASU for not having computer in classes, for not having running water, and for not having equipment for research. Even our area of equipment is part of our Nigeria University.
All right, thank you. We'll have to let. Thank you very much, Kobo. Hello and good evening.
Hello.
Great to have you join us. Your name, please, and where you calling from?
Yeah, AB from Songo.
All right, AB, please go ahead.
I want to say to Sankore, God bless you, really good. My take on, you see, Idamu. I won't call him the Minister of Education, Adamu. No, it's Idamu. Because the reason why I'm saying it is, you can imagine when he was addressing he was telling us about that the ASU, that the students should go and hold the ASU responsible. Tell me what they have done for him to say that they should go and hold ASU responsible. This revitalization, they said he should do something about it. They have not done anything. And you are just coming out. The same propaganda they did during the Goodluck Jonathan time, they still thought that Nigerians are sleeping. No! So we are expecting, we expect the government to do the info. Even I don't even expect President Buhari to give any assignment to any of them, because all of them are failed. Mm. All you need to do is to call on these people to meet you, and you discuss with them and your chief of staff to find a way out of this problem. Mm. And you are keeping quiet, and you are telling us that there's no way you can do it. You want our children to start to.
Right.
It's unfortunate in this country because they don't take education serious.
Mm.
Without education, Nigerians are not going anywhere.
Mm.
God bless this nation in Jesus' name. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Interesting. The chief of staff got involved in the matter, but the rest, they say, is history. He did not achieve anything with it. Caller Ali from VI writes, problem in the country is misplaced priority. Education is the foundation that everything else we build. If we get our education system right, with focus on technology and vocational studies, then with time, bandits will not have them to use. The next thing is electricity. Mm. It seems some people are confused about the ASUU struggle. I think this strike shows that ASUU has more empathy for the students. What sense does it make to produce continuously unemployable graduates? ? Good evening. This is Godspower from Lagoy, who says that it's unfortunate that the kind of ministers we have in every sector, for example, Minister for Power, Education, Labour and Productivity, are not qualified for these offices, he says. The suspension of some media houses, Dennis Wolodia Papa says, political, and more sectors will be targeted before the campaign begins and the general election. Mm. Let's go to... I think I've read Femi's message from Texas. And then this is from Chief Udo, who says that if Nigeria is my company, I won't even employ this kind of leaders we have. You have people know that the more our children go abroad to study, the more we have scarcity of dollars. Even if all our politicians can't have their kids in Nigeria, Minister of Power and its ministry are not supposed to have generators. Minister for Education should not have their kids abroad so that they can make the system work if they feel that what people feel is sad, that people who enjoyed free education and watching our education system die gradually. All right, Otemi, that's enough, it appears, for us for today.
Yes, I mean, last words, let me just quote something one of our listeners is saying, Uche Nweke. He says, so we thought the analysis on public square on this ASUU matter, somebody is still calling to say that ASUU should have human hearts. Look, people need to connect the dots. What the lecturers are saying is this. If we are teaching somebody civil engineering and the person has never experienced it, has never seen any of the equipment, and they go and build a bridge, and while you are on the bridge collapses, and you say incompetent engineer.
Mm.
That's what the teachers are saying.
Absolutely.
So it's not a question of human heart. They are saying they cannot, in all true, conscience, be pretending that they are teaching people and the people have no knowledge. It's not even that the people are not unemployable. Such people are a danger. An engineer that cannot understand engineering and you unleash thousands every year to build bridges, build houses. Look,
let's leave it at that.
let's just leave it at that. You know, we'll join you again next Friday, 4 p.m. If you want to continue the discussion online, Ahoho is at Ahoho Obo.
Yeah.
I'm at Rotimi Sankore. And the program handle at Public Square NG, we curate a lot of stuff for you to read. And don't forget to engage at Nigeria Info FM. All our great programs.
All right. Before I'm revoked by Tony from Alabama, he said this message that we must read. He says that, honestly, in the days of Professor Olukoye Rasunkuti rather than Babs Anima Shanwa as Ministers of Education and Health, today's ministers would have been not good enough to be their personal assistants. My answer to the question raised by Meg that called is which is the question about the Messiah, right? It's to throw away all the gold diggers that have been in government all their life Thanks. All right. That does it for us from here. I wish we could go on and on, but every good thing must have an end. We'll be back again next week. And thank you, all of you, for being in the square as we shot it. We'll have the news at the top of the hour. And after that, Sammy and Ifeanyi will be here for Music and Moment. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk. All right, Rotimi.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.